Well, hello there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you from South Granville Church. I want to say grace and peace to you and your family as you continue to navigate this strange time. And I want to say thank you for joining us for another podcast devotional. So this week, we're going to continue our series as we learn more about Paul's list in Galatians 5, where he describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul is using this image of fruit to describe how our character is shaped and grows into Christ-likeness as we spend time with God and draw nearer to Him. And so last week we heard about how the Spirit grows us in our capacity to love others and make the choice to demonstrate love even when it's not easy or something that we're naturally feeling. Today we're going to talk about how the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I want to start by making a distinction between joy and happiness. In our culture and in the English language, joy and happiness are often used interchangeably. And the same as the word love, we might use the word joy in a whole variety of different scenarios where we're actually feeling very different things. So you might say that I have joy because today is Friday and I'm looking forward to the weekend. Or, I'm filled with joy because the Green Bay Packers just won the Super Bowl. Or you might say, I'm filled with joy because my son was born healthy and strong. Again, all different scenarios and really different levels or implications of happiness, but we're using that same word joy to describe them. But when you look at the New Testament, the word joy is a bit different than just a circumstantial kind of happiness. Joy is deeper than our circumstances. It's more than just being glad that something good has happened to us. Joy is really about taking delight in spiritual reality. Joy, biblically defined, is about experiencing peace and contentment and even happiness because of who God is and because of what He's done. Joy is not found in money or accomplishments or even in human relationships. Real biblical joy is grounded in Christ, and it's grounded in His promises to us and the security that we have as His beloved children. And so there are numerous references to joy throughout Scripture and especially in the New Testament. But the joy that the New Testament writers talk about is a joy that is flowing out of our relationship with God. It is a joy that grounds us and helps us to feel strong and content no matter how good or how terrible our circumstances might be. And this is an important corrective for us as American Christians because we are part of a culture that is kind of obsessed with personal happiness and trying to maximize our happiness as much as possible. I like to think of this as the happiness industrial complex here in the United States. There is a whole industry out there trying to sell us happiness by subscribing to the right program or the right diet or buying the right supplements or the right meditation classes or whatever it might be. And of course, this is on top of just regular advertising, which totally markets in personal happiness. Think about any ad that you've seen for a car or clothes or a nice watch. Oftentimes, these products are being pitched to us as something that's going to make us feel happy, something that's going to kind of fill up that emptiness and help us to feel more confident and self-assured and ultimately have a better life. And so we're swimming in this sea of competing values and different ideas about what's going to make us happy. And that's why we have to come back to the Bible's definition of joy and remember that joy is first and foremost found in our relationship with Christ. Joy is something that flows out of a deep sense of God's presence in our life, and it's not nearly as fleeting as our circumstances or our possessions. It's something that we can hold on to no matter what our day-to-day life actually looks like. So obviously, this is a great time for us to be thinking about joy, because we're in the midst of a very challenging season as a nation. And some of us have had a pretty rough experience over the last couple of months. You may have had changes in your job situation or your finances that have brought on extra stress. You may feel lonely or cut off from family or friends because you've been spending a lot of time on your own. It may be that there's conflict with your extended family or your friends or even in your own house because you don't agree about what it looks like to quote-unquote reopen and what it is that you should and shouldn't be doing this summer. And of course, all of that's on top of the news. Some of us are keeping track of infection rates. We're noticing that local businesses are struggling or closing. Over the last few weeks, we've been having tough conversations about racism and inequality, and we've seen a lot of pain and anger. It is not the easiest time for us. And I think this is an important season for us to learn how to cultivate this fruit of joy, to be able to experience peace and contentment and a sense of wholeness, even when things around us feel like they're out of our control or that our circumstances have become harder than they were 6 months ago. So as we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, we want to think about how we can cultivate this fruit. The same way that you need to create the right conditions in your yard in order to grow great tomatoes, we have to figure out how to create the right conditions in our soul so that God can grow the fruit of His Spirit within us. And while I certainly don't have all the answers or have everything figured out, I wanted to share just a few suggestions about how we can do that when it comes to joy, and then we'll spend a few minutes praying for God to fill us with the fruit of joy as we go into this week. So the first thing that I want to say is that if joy is meant to be grounded in our relationship with God, then we have to spend time with Him. We have to give that relationship adequate attention and energy. And I know that this is something that I've been talking about a lot over the last few months, but it's something that I personally need to be reminded of over and over and over. The most important thing I can do in my life is to maintain a strong and healthy relationship with God. Without that, I'm not going to have as much to give to others, and I'm going to be more easily burdened by the struggles and challenges that I deal with. And so really, the best thing we can do for others is to take care of our soul and take care of our relationship with God. If you and I are meant to take joy knowing Jesus and His promises, then we have to spend time with Him. We have to spend time remembering who He is and what He has done for us. We have to spend time in Scripture, and we have to spend time praying with gratitude. We have to cultivate joy by being in God's presence consistently. And so, again, I'll ask, what does that look like for you at this stage of your life and maybe your life as a family? How can you carve out that time and that space to make God a priority and adequately spend time with Him? Along these lines, I think one of the things we can do to cultivate joy is intentionally be thinking about and remembering how He's at work in our life. So one of the cool things about looking through the Scripture is that you see God's people periodically remembering some of the major stories and major times that God was intervening and at work in their lives. If you read through the book of Psalms, there are numerous references to Israel's deliverance from Exodus and the parting of the Red Sea. This was a cornerstone moment for them and something that they came back to. When times were tough, when they felt like God was distant, when they were unsure, they would pray these prayers and remember God's faithfulness. They would remember what He had done and look to that as a sign of hope for the future. So I think the same thing can be beneficial to us. As we try to cultivate joy, one of the things we can do is regularly make time to be remembering what God has done in the past, as well as thinking about what God is doing in the present. Sometimes you might hear people talk about keeping a gratitude journal, that one of the things that helps them is to, you know, write down things that they're thankful for on a regular basis. And I think this can be a great practice for Christians, especially if we're going beyond just, you know, material comforts or things that we enjoy, and we really spend time paying attention to what the Spirit is doing, thinking and remembering how God has been active in our lives over the past few days or few weeks. So in my own life, I want to be thinking about how I have seen God at work, how He's provided for me this week. What has He been teaching me this week? When did I feel like I was lost or stuck or really discouraged, and then God provided some sign of encouragement? Was it a conversation with a friend? Was it a scripture passage that really spoke to me? Was it simply the opportunity to be outside and be refreshed? How has God been providing for me in the midst of my needs? Or maybe you want to look back over the last few months or few years, and you want to say, God, where have you been at work? How have you been changing me? How have you stepped up and provided for my family in the past so that I can be encouraged and remember that you are faithful? Again, joy is about more than just feeling happy about a material blessing. Joy is taking comfort and experiencing peace, knowing that God will continue the good work that He's begun in us. And I think the more often we can remember what He's been doing and pay attention to how He's working, the more we will be able to experience that joy, even in the midst of a tough day or a tough week. Now, one other thing that might be helpful for us is to pay attention to our inputs during the week as well. Somebody online pointed this out a while ago, but if you're spending a few minutes every morning reading your Bible, and then you're spending a few hours throughout the day reading the news or watching the news, which one is going to have a bigger impact on your attitude? Which one is going to end up shaping you more? It's probably the voices that are loudest and the ones that you are putting into your mind most frequently. And so I think we have to be careful. I think we have to be careful about our media consumption. I think we have to be careful about which voices we're allowing into our minds and our hearts. And I think we have to be careful to say, even if we're showing up to be with God for a few minutes in the morning, if the rest of the day we are just filling ourselves with things that create anxiety or frustration, if we're spending way more time and energy thinking about politics than we are thinking about our spiritual life, well, that's going to have an impact on our joy. That's going to shape us, and it's going to make it harder to remember that our hope for the future is found in Christ more than anything else. And so several weeks ago, I shared a document called the Wisdom Pyramid, and thinking about how we can think about our knowledge diet the way we think about our food diet. And our base should be grounded in Christ. Our base of that pyramid should be scripture and prayer and the voices of other Christians. Everything else should be secondary to that. And as we grow in our ability to experience joy, we're going to process the news differently. We're going to be able to handle more of that anxiety and frustration that others are experiencing. But we have to start by keeping our relationship with God strong and making sure that His word isn't being crowded out by all these other voices and all these other concerns. Lastly, and very simply, I think you and I can learn to cultivate joy by simply asking for it. That when we're in the midst of a tough stretch, when you're having that bad day, when your kids are driving you crazy, when you feel totally discouraged at work, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, God, I'm not feeling very joyful. I'm defeated. I'm discouraged. I'm losing hope. Would you please give me joy in the midst of these circumstances? Because as we said last week, ultimately what we're talking about is a fruit of the Spirit. This isn't something we can will ourselves to feel. We can't make ourselves more joyful, especially when we're feeling discouraged. Instead, We can come before God, we can acknowledge our need, and we can ask Him to fill us with joy, to remind us of His promises, and to give us hope, even when hope seems to be lacking. And so along those lines, I want to invite you to join me in prayer as we kind of finish our time today. We're going to ask God to give us joy and to remind us of what is true. And then I'm going to read several passages of Scripture that hopefully can bring you joy as you go through this week. So let's pray together. Father, we are listening to this in many different places, experiencing many different things. Some of us are feeling strong in our spiritual life, and some of us, if we're honest, feel like we are barely hanging on. Father, we ask that you would meet us where we are. We ask that you would fill us with joy as we remember your love for us expressed through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that when we are discouraged about coronavirus or racism or any of these other issues, when we are unsure of what the future holds, Father, we ask that you would remind us that the world is in your hands, that you love us, and that there is nothing, nothing in this world that can separate us from that love. Father, give us courage and give us confidence as we remember your faithfulness to your people. And would you help us to have hope for the future, knowing that we will share in Christ's victory over sin and death and every last enemy of your will. Father, we ask that whatever we're going through this week, you would fill us with joy. Give us your peace, peace that goes beyond understanding, peace that guards our minds and our hearts from discouragement. And would you help us, Lord, to share that joy with others in our lives who need to experience it. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, before you go, I want to invite you to consider a few passages of Scripture, and may they bring you joy as you go through this week. Romans 5, verse 8 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" Or how about this one, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not holding people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And one more that we heard this last Sunday coming from Romans chapter 8. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friends, may the gospel and its promises bring you joy this week. May you know the depth of God's love for you, and may you experience His peace no matter what your circumstances may look like. Thank you again for listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.